we're here in Miami live. We have a Future of Health panel, which I'm really excited about today. We have Dr. Steven Ruff right next to me, and he is a dentist who's practiced for over 30 years, found a way to bring medical hypnotherapy into his practice. So super excited to have you here and to hear more about your experience and what you're up to now. Colleen, we have you here as well, and she's the founder of My Body Green, which is one of the most awesome wellness platforms out there today. I use it all the time, so it's a pleasure to have you here. Hear more about what you're up to as well. And then we have Dr. Cesar Lara, who's a renowned weight loss doctor who has now transitioned his practice into shamanic energy healing, and he's doing some really great things in the Tampa, Clearwater area. Pleasure to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Well, let you guys do a brief intro, starting with you, Steve.
Okay. You want to know what I'm up to lately? Or
yes, let's hear.
So I was a dentist for over 30 years, and then in 2008, when my practice was down, I got into hypnotherapy for my patients just to attract new patients who had anxiety. And then I was doing it for weight loss and smoking a little bit, and then I'm like, let's get real brave, and I did some dental procedures with it with no anesthesia. I'm like, okay, this stuff works. I did fillings first and did some root canals and then took out teeth. I'm like, okay, now I really believe, which makes me a more powerful facilitator. And then I got into doing some psychedelics during COVID, in the time of COVID, and saw the power in that as well, especially ketamine. And saw that before that, I went to a meditation retreat, a Joe Dispenza meditation retreat, and I found some people that were not able to drop into the quantum field of possibilities or dominant gamma brainwaves. And I did a process I call the gift guided imagination for transformation. And the next day, two people who had been there several times dropped into that field. So I knew I had something. And then I started to do it for psychedelics. So now I help people with their mindset before they go into a psychedelic journey. So they're going to have a good trip.
That's amazing. It's amazing how you're rewiring trauma and how you've shifted your perspective over the years. You guys have a lot in common with each other. And
I had a great talk.
Yeah, Cesar, we'll let you go, Colleen.
So I'm a medical doctor. I've been in practice for approximately 30-some years. My primary focus had been the traditional medicine, helping people get better by putting Band-Aids on them. I subsequently evolved into a more evolved physician, looking at lifestyles and focusing on nutrition, mindset. And that's where I developed these weight loss programs and age management programs to help people age and take power and their control back into their health. And then subsequent to that experience, I realized that there was a lot more to it than met the eye. And so I was still looking at the physical, and I began to look at the energetics, the chakra systems that helps us be who we are, the aura that surrounds us, luminous energy field. And I went to South America and began to learn from the ancient populations of the Inca and was able to bring back that wisdom and knowledge and became a shaman in the process. So today I'm a shaman who happens to be a medical doctor, and I basically walk between that Eastern philosophy and Western philosophy, but really bringing attention to the divine power that we have in each of us to be able to heal and be able to step into the reason why we're on this earth at this time and be able to fulfill that journey for ourselves.
Amazing. We're happy to have you here. Colleen?
Hi, I'm Colleen Wachob. I'm the co-founder and co-CEO of Mind Body Green. Mind Body Green is a well-being company at which content is the heart of everything we do. So we reach about 10 million people on our owned and operated, millions on our channels across social media, and you know, have very aligned values to the other members of this panel: mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, environmental well-being, and you know, the belief that you have a lot of control over your health destiny and can do that through a combination of Eastern and Western influences.
Yeah, I personally use your platform all the time, and it's like a modern version of WebMD, but much better and much more balanced. And it doesn't tell you you're going to die. What you look like. So if you haven't checked out the platform, it's just a wealth of knowledge. You can pretty much search anything, and there's just, you know, a lot of research backed studies and information, and it's very easy to digest, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to start with you, and you brought medical hypnotherapy into your practice. How did that come to life, and how did you think, okay, I want to actually help my patients with this in the beginning?
I had been, it was really out of just building up business first. And then I actually, after a divorce in 2005, it was really traumatic. So I started to do a lot of self-development work. I didn't want to have a codependent relationship anymore. And everything I would study, we'd talk about the power of the subconscious mind. And then like hypnotherapy, how better to get in the subconscious mind than that? So originally it was just to get new patients in. And then I saw how powerful it was after I'm doing procedures with no anesthesia. And I'm like, okay, what else can we do this for?
So how did it like actually work with the patients?
It worked really well. Like I was shocked. I mean, I'm like, okay, maybe my voice is calming him down from the anxiety. But after doing the dental procedures, it made me believe more in what I had and how I can help people. And then I came up with, I get people into trance. Progressive relaxation doesn't work for me, per se, and a lot of people, because it's difficult to quiet your mind. However, I develop a trance that in 2.5 minutes, I'll probably get 95% of people into a good theta dominant brain state.
Hopefully not us.
Oh, I'm already doing it. And then I started to use it for... Actually, I've helped women. I had 5 women who had were unable to get pregnant and with in vitro fertilization, and I'm 5 for 5 on that, just helping them relax and see everything's going to be okay. And even one woman, I actually had to have her talk to the soul of the baby that was supposed to come in that she didn't want. She wanted, and whether it was true or not, it was her imagination. And a month out later, she told me, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. Mm. One last story I'll give is just changing perspective and how I came into a process I do called the GIF, Guided Imagination for Transformation. My dental assistant came in and she was pregnant for a second time. She lost her first baby to a miscarriage. And she came in crying and could barely even talk. And I just felt so horrible for her. And my hypnotherapy practice was right above my dental practice. So I took her up there. And I wasn't sure exactly what to do. I just decided, let me take her to a good place. So I took her to her happiest moment, which she told me was when her she found out she got pregnant the first time, and who she told, her family members, her mom, her dad, her boyfriend. And I anchored that in with NLP. So to her making a fist, and every time you do that, you're going to pump up these feel-good neurotransmitters. Then I brought her forward to the future where she goes back to her doctor. Her doctor says, we must have made a mistake. Your baby's okay. And her doctor also told her that because of her anatomy, she's never going to be able to have any more children.
Wow.
So I brought her there. And then I brought her to the pregnancy. To the delivery. And she actually told me she had felt labor pains. And then I brought her forward to the kid being healthy at 1 year old. And then I brought her out. And the coolest thing was that her whole reality was changed. She had no doubt that child was going to be okay. A month later, she goes to the doctor. Doctor says, we must have made a mistake. Your baby's okay. She now has 2 kids.
Wow. Amazing. So
that is the cool thing. When you do something like that, just to change people's perspective on how they look at life. And now I've further evolved that to, I help people let go of their shame and their guilt and trust in a loving higher power that does things for them. And I instill that in their subconscious. And they're all of a sudden they put on these new glasses and they're looking at life from another perspective and another reality. So, and I'm gifted to be able to help people with that. And it's fun. You do what you do and you're not sure whether you're working, you're playing, and that's success.
Yeah, I love it. And that's so powerful. I mean, at what point did you realize that dentistry is probably not the path forward and this is the path forward? Was there a moment or did it slowly happen over time?
It was kind of being on, if any of you guys water ski, when you go on 2 skis, if you're going to slalom and drop a ski, and when you go steady enough on 2 skis and you drop one. I'd been trying to get out of dentistry for a long time. It's a really stressful work, and I realized I probably have some ADD from it, and, because I had to work on 3 or 4 different chairs and know what was happening in the waiting room and hygiene room. And so it's been a mission to actually be able to focus, which is great, and I'm getting there. I was ready to get out of dentistry. I love my patients, and that's the part I'm missing. And it was my practice, so I get people in, and I can help them come in. And I always wanted to have people feel better when they leave than when they come in. And I used to be able to do that with a smile and give them a new smile, and now they feel great about themselves, and now I get them to smile from the inside as well.
Wow, even more meaningful.
Yes.
That's amazing. I think both you and Caesar have so many parallels in how you started as a traditional Western approach, then it shifted as you grew personally, and then that helped your practice grow. I'd love to hear how your approach has changed from weight loss doctor to energy healing and shaman.
So to bring a thing we're describing is really a shift in the story, right? Because we are stories. And so as you bring attention to that story, and you begin to take them through the subconscious journey where you begin to change that story, all of a sudden all the cellular aspects of yourself begin to shift. And so reality is created by what you believe. And so if you implant a different belief system, then you actually create a whole new experience. So from my humble perspective, in the weight loss journey or age management journey, it's about hearing the stories of my patients, because in the stories is where the limiting thoughts are at. That's where the limiting perspectives are at. And so begin to bring attention to that, because the shadow is something that we cannot see. But once we can see it, now we're able to heal it. Right. And so understanding those didactics of there's the cellular aspects, the physiological aspects, the hormonal aspects, all of those were really exciting for me. But the stories were still the limiting factor. And so in being able to go into the ancient wisdom perspectives of the indigenous population has helped me appreciate how to be able to shift those stories and how to shift the energy of it. Uh-huh. So I've had experiences where I have one of the most profound experiences, because one thing is we understand how it could work, but when we see it, we realize, wow, it really works. And so I had a young lady, 16 years of age, was literally taking 3-4 psychiatric medications, not able to go to school, not able to function. She was seeing multiple psychiatrists. Her mother brought her to me and said, can you help her? I started working with her. Within 3 visits, she no longer was feeling limited. She was starting to go back to school. I saw her a year later. She's actually thriving. Now, what did I do? I didn't do anything. I was just a guide. But she was able to grow from that, release those old stories, and be able to shift into the reality of who she really wants to be. Mm-hmm. And so from the perspective of the healings that I do now is really working on the energetic. So we're tied to 7 different chakra systems. Each chakra system is aligned to an endocrine system. And emotions, there's toxic emotions. Us can have a toxic emotion, but it's a question whether we're going to hold on to it for a month or 2 years or whatever happens. So most of the time, this inability to be able to digest those emotions prevents us from being able to be in the flow to create the reality that we want. And so from my humble perspective, now I try to bring attention to understand what an individual wants and see the light in them and bring attention to the light, so that where attention goes, that's what grows. And so I need to bring attention to it first, me. I need to see the beauty and the joy and the light in them. And then the second part is allowing them to begin to bridge it and begin to see it for themselves, so they can bring that divine energy into themselves.
It's amazing. It sounds like both of you allow people to heal from within and give them, empower them to actually heal themselves, rather than feeling like they're broken, they need a fix, they need a medication, a surgery. You're empowering them through the work that you do to kind of just help themselves heal from within.
Which is the unfortunate part of the Western model, right? The Western model is really more about something's wrong with you, something from the outside is going to have to come and fix you, and I got the latest, the brightest, the newest drug. And at the end of the day, we then become dependent on this mindset. And what we believe, we become. And so suddenly we're all aging very rapidly and needing lots of care from other sources outside. And instead of going back to Mother Earth and realizing that we were never kicked out of that beautiful garden, but we're still here.
Yeah, it's interesting because both of you have seen both ends of the spectrum, and your perspective is very balanced, which is what I think makes you both very unique. And it's great to have two super like-minded people on a panel and then discussing this so openly. It's really amazing thing. Colleen, I want to switch to you. Tell us about Mind Body Green and how you founded it and what separates it from other platforms out there in terms of the knowledge you can get from it.
Yeah, so my husband and I are the co-founders and co-CEOs, probably a topic for a whole other panel. But we both were going through our own personal health journeys. You know, I had a pulmonary embolism and it was near catastrophic. You know, for those of you familiar with pulmonary embolisms, they oftentimes don't end well. And I was, you know, seemingly healthy in my early 30s and, you know, collapsed one day on the subway and did what a lot of people do, gaslit myself, didn't go to the doctor. It was Saturday in New York City. It didn't sound like a good idea. But on Monday morning, my husband, I was working at Amazon at the time, was like, you're not going to work unless you go to the doctor. There were showers of clots in my lungs, both lungs. And, you know, was very lucky to make it out okay. And that inflection point ended up being a turning point for me and moving from, you know, a breakdown to a breakthrough. And at the time, when we were looking at the health and wellness landscape, there was two extremes. And sadly, I feel very similar about what's happening now. But at that moment, it was like six-pack abs or the more holistic kind of sources didn't have, you know, the science pedigree that the gentleman on this panel have. And so it was very hard to get nuanced information that was a combination of both holistic and scientific perspectives. And that nuance was missing. I think it's very much missing today. I think the danger with the social media platforms now as it relates to health and wellness is that they very much reward extreme points of view. So if you are out searching for nuance and balance, it's really hard to find. So out of our own kind of personal necessity to work through our own health journeys, Mind Body Green was started, and you know, really relied heavily on these expert perspectives, which we now call the collective, to bring into life. And now it's a site that has over 100,000 pieces of written content, expert backed, as well as education. We believe very highly in, you know, the idea of empowerment and that you can take control of your health destiny and, you know, being the CEO of your own health and well-being. So there's education products as well to help you along on your journey.
Yeah, it's a super insightful platform, very easy to use. And I love how you've broken things down into your different pillars of wellness, which makes it very balanced. I'd like to just open up a question for everyone. And I'm curious, are there any trends in the healthcare space that you guys are keeping a close eye on? Is there anything that's worrying you? Anything that excites you for what's happening right now in the world? You know, from wearables to telemedicine, AI, there's so much happening and it's definitely affecting health and well-being. Is there anything you guys are keeping an eye on?
For myself, I just fell in love with ketamine as a medicine just because it's predictable. A lot of the other medicines, you're not sure where it's going to take you and how long it's going to last. And when we get somebody in a hypnotic trance, it's usually you want them in dominant theta waves, like a deep meditating monk, and they're the same brain waves when you're, you know, born to when you're 7 years old and your core values are put in. So after you do a ketamine journey on the other side of it, you're in dominant theta for about 24 to 48 hours. So you have a whole fresh canvas that you can help people look at things from a different perspective. That excites me and the possibilities of what we can do when people are in the K-hole or transformational space and they're in dominant gamma brain waves, where some people say you're in the fourth dimension. And to see what we can do with people there. The scary thing around is the social media and all the negativity and all the division that it's causing in the world and in this country. It's tough. And these kids are, I may work with Yale University to help these college students because they can't control, they're not finishing school and they're all stressed out and they don't really know how to survive in this common world. So that's concerning.
Do you think it's going to be widely adopted and as common as other medicines that are on the market now?
I think it needs to be. And the Matthew Perry incident was actually, it sounded bad, but he was just doctoring his own. I mean, he was playing his own doctor. He did a dose. He probably went into a K-hole. It wasn't it's the one thing about ketamine, you get no respiratory depression. Like, it's a really safe medicine. You have to do 50 times the anesthetic dose to overdose on it. And he also was on these other medicines for opioid addiction. And if you do any psychedelics after ketamine, your receptors are all open and it's going to be greatly enhanced. I've experienced that.
So you want it to be widely adopted?
Yes. And I think even for married couples, what ketamine does is it takes you, it's like the opposite of cocaine. Cocaine for me is synthetic ego. Ketamine is no ego at all. You're above it. And even to do a little bit in a nasal spray for couples who are having an argument, it takes you out of your ego and then you can discuss it from a different plane. And I've used it and it works. Yeah.
Colleen, how are you?
Something really exciting is that the biohacking conversation is moving away from being a very male dominant conversation, probably started about 15 years ago, to really being tailored to the unique needs of women. Women are more complex physiologically, we're more complex hormonally. And so having these subtle tweaks and optimizations that we can make within our life to optimize our own health and longevity, I think is really exciting. There's been so many doctors who have brought the longevity conversation to the forefront. And I'm very excited about the next wave of women who are leading this conversation. I think, you know, Stacey Sims is one great example, who are taking these principles and kind of sharing the tweaks and modifications that women can make. There's a lot of wearables that are just now tailored to the unique needs of women, and then other companies, you know, providing more data specifically for women at different
apps
age
like Flow, the Aura, yeah. Cycle Tracker now.
Totally.
So, yeah.
That's an exciting way, I think, in which we're ushering in technology that we can use for good, with the idea that, you know, none of this stuff needs to be super fancy or expensive. I think we need to spend more time on the majors. One of my friends in the space says, you know, you have to bake your cake before you can put on the frosting. So I think really just mastering simple things like how we sleep and our stress levels, and really focusing on the fundamentals and using these tools, if you are a little disconnected from your body, to help you get to your right North Star.
Yeah, I think you bring up such a good point. Things like fasting, right? You can't recommend the same thing for a man as you would a woman, because your hormonal cycle is completely different. 30 days versus us is on a single day. And you can't recommend an 18-hour fast to a woman who's never fasted. It can be really stressful, especially depending on what part of her cycle she's in. And I think an interesting thing too, correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the health-centered studies are done on men,
yeah,
because they're more predictable in their hormones than women. So the data out there for women is probably a lot more sparse.
It's a great point. Like, there needs to be better research and more research, you know, specifically on women. And, you know, there's a complexity to it, which is probably why people haven't done it.
Yeah. Speaking of biohacking, I think there's a conference coming up in Miami.
I think
so
you're right.
Hopefully we'll be going. Biohacking Expo. Yeah. Caesar, how about you?
So from my perspective, I tend to see definitely a significant amount of confusion, you know, with social media. People don't know what to believe or not believe. Our news are difficult to believe. But I also sense deep that our community is waking up. Look at us here in this panel. Look at this biohacking coming in, whether it's you know, plant medicine. The main shift that I see and I sense, and I think we're part of that wave that is evolving, is giving people back the power to realize who they truly are and that they can begin to take steps to heal themselves. And I think that that's a big shift that has occurred from the time that I got my medical degree, where I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to help so many people and I'm going to do so many good things. And suddenly you come to realize that, no, you didn't help anybody. You just put a whole bunch of band-aids on everybody. And now they're dependent on you to see them every 3 months. And the drug companies and the insurance companies, they're all happy because they got these wonderful people for the rest of their lives. And so I think we're waking up to that. We're waking up to a new world, that it's a world where there is technology, learning how well we're sleeping, learning how well we're breathing, learning what we're eating, and connecting with the fact that, you know, the nutrition. I mean, the reason that we're sick is because our whole Mother Earth has been poisoned with all these chemicals. So whatever we're getting from there, of course, we are an expression of what we eat. And so now we're beginning to wake up to that. We're seeing Mexico, of all people, right, all countries. We think, oh, Mexico is a little bit farther behind than us. Well, they have actually outlawed glyphosate, right? And so you see this trend beginning to happen in the world. And so I am very hopeful. I'm very happy to be here, to be part of helping awaken others to the reality that they have a choice.
Yeah. Mind Body Green is doing just that, right? Empowering people to take their health into their own hands.
Trying.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to shift back to you two doctors. How do you know anyone else that's made the shift from Western to Eastern medicine? Or do you feel like this is an anomaly? Or is this a trend that you think might continue to happen? And if it is, how do we grow the network between doctors who are becoming more progressive and using more progressive treatments and adapting their treatment styles?
I think it's a time when people are, like, even Western medicine doctors are getting tired of things not working, and people being addicted to, like, an antidepressant, a side effect is suicidal thoughts. And when the nodes don't work anymore, you take one, a stronger one, and it's suicidal actions. Like, this is not working. You're not finding the cause. So a lot of, I think, and a lot of, there's a lot of dentists, there's chiropractors I know that are going that route as well. Yeah, osteopaths as well, and they're looking, they're shifting to look for something that works more. And there's a consciousness and there's that mind-body connection that Western medicine doesn't take into account. And I think that's a mistake. However, there's a lot of people waking up and realizing there's more to it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a community or a platform that practitioners like yourself can communicate on and maybe share best practices and learn from each other?
I have not found one yet.
And I think
because when I look at medical doctors who happen to be shamans or who have had the ability to connect with that way of understanding our creation, maybe there's three that I've come in touch with in the United States, and I'm one of them. So there's not a lot. That doesn't mean that there's more than three, but it just we're not connected in a very. So we tend to connect a lot more with other healers, right? Sound therapy, you know, we a lot of people, and so patients or clients end up coming to us to help them evolve because we're connecting with the resources that they have, such as the sound therapy. Cold plunges are becoming huge now, and so everybody is into the cold plunge. Like you said, the fasting has been really dysfunctional for a lot of people because women tend to react totally different. So most women that I see for weight loss, well, I've been trying the 18-hour fast and it's not working. I actually don't eat that much, but I can't release any weight. Well, it's hormonal. So we're waking up. I do think that there's a limited. So if you could connect a new organization now that we're working at the ability of seeding something new, I think that that would bring a lot more education and possibilities to physicians and practitioners who want to really be have that support system. Right now, it does not exist.
Yeah. Also, anecdotally, I have a lot of friends who are going through med school or in the process of it right now, and they're saying there's a greater demand for things like nutrition, and they're definitely knocking on doors and trying to bring that into the system because correct me if I'm wrong, but it was something that maybe you spent a few hours on previously. Yeah. If that,
it was not at all that. Even when you go to a medical conference nowadays, I mean, it's all about the new drug and it's not about the details of what's really creating the diseases.
Yeah.
It's really more about how to bandage them together.
Yeah. Colleen, I'd love to shift the focus and hear from you. How do you balance being a mom while running a company while also working with your husband? I know Nicole and I have worked together. We share a business and that brings challenges. How do you balance all of that?
Well, sustainability as a value is very important to me. And it is important. You know, we're like 15 years into this Mind Body Green journey that, you know, the business we create is also, you know, sustainable from a financial standpoint, but also sustainable for our emotional health and well-being. And that takes a lot of intention. I think we've also come to accept this idea of work-life integration and not work-life balance for us in that, you know, we're not very rigid in terms of, okay, work is happening through these hours. Our personal lives and our work lives are very intermeshed. So it's hard to differentiate a lot of times between what's work and what's play because those boundaries are so nimble for us. I think it's also, you know, with the importance of sleep, it's really important for us to understand our triggers. My husband can, you know, be emailing in his bed at night at like 11 o'clock and it's not going to raise his cortisol levels. I'm hardwired very differently. So understanding kind of the hard rules that we do have to make sure that we keep that harmony within our life and our business relationship. And there's so many couples who work within health and wellness together. And I've seen wonderful outcomes and I've seen tragic outcomes for both the relationship and the business. And we're very cognizant of that. So it's something we have to be very intentional about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this broader trend of, you know, sustainability, you know, ensuring that we're building a sustainable company in all the ways.
Yeah. Was it a scary leap when you decided to go into business with Jason? And what was that conversation like? Because I know what it was like, Nicole and I, and it was something we had to really think through before we made that commitment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never one to sugarcoat the entrepreneurship journey. You know, there was the first 4 years of the company, we didn't make any money. And I had a day job at Amazon, which, you know, probably didn't bring me a ton of joy. And those were really hard conversations as a young married couple about what was happening and what was our destiny. But I do think it helped us, you know, kind of have those conversations around, you know, the unsexy parts of it, like financial alignment. And have those conversations earlier. We're hardwired very differently, where my husband has a much larger risk kind of tolerance than I do. And I think having those hard conversations helped us run the business in a way that was a lot more sustainable and a lot more aligned. Which if you are worried about your burn rate as an entrepreneur, as a business, that's just a level of stress that's like completely untenable. And it's going to get your entire other sleep and mental and physical wellness out of balance. So while financial well-being is probably the least sexy topic of health and well-being, I do think it's an important pillar to think through and be thoughtful and intentional about.
Yeah. What would you recommend for other women who are out there who are thinking about having kids and they're thinking about starting a business, or maybe they're already in the process, but they can't juggle everything? How do you direct them? What can you say to maybe give them hope or guidance?
I think we live in this wonderful world now where I assume pretty much everyone on our team has a side hustle of every sort. So I think there's like great ways that you can start, get some proof of concept, understand if your concept is going to be viable and tenable before you necessarily leave, you know, the security of health insurance and a paycheck and go all in, because those stakes become really high and there's so much pressure on you to succeed, you know, if you're not able to make those bills. And I think we just live in this wonderful age of entrepreneurship where everyone is able to monetize their talents through the internet and through ways that like I never thought possible when I was growing up. So I think there's just a wonderful way for people to build their own business while also working a 9-to-5 or whatever that, you know, job may be. And that's a great place to be.
Yeah. Having some stability, transitioning from it. That's what we did in our business as well. Although Nicole told me to take the leap of faith, I kept the 9-to-5 until it was really time to make the shift into what we're doing now. I'd love to open it up just to a general question I'm curious about is, what's one health and wellness practice that you all can't live without? Maybe something you do on a daily basis that you could share with everyone.
My wife and I put together a social club, and the one thing that I have to, she'll be a whirlwind of energy and I am the calm in a storm, and she forgets it's connection, and I have to keep on reminding her, we need, and probably feel that too, because we're running the business, it's from our home, and connection to each other, to have that and move forward, as well as some morning meditation, but the connection time I find is the most important. And that's for me, because as a man, we want to have peace of mind and a woman wants to feel safe and secure. And I think like the gods and goddesses come out when we're able to do that.
That's amazing. How are you, Polly?
I'm like hugely passionate about sleep fitness, and I'm so happy that this conversation has been normalized. I think if you go 5 or 10 days, you know, without eating some green leafy vegetables, without going to the gym, you're going to be fine. If you go 5 or 10 days without sleeping, you're not okay. You'll probably end up in the hospital. So sleep hygiene, fitness is hugely important to me. I have like a very early caffeine sundown, the time at which I stop having caffeine. It's like 10 a.m. I think a lot of people would say it's like 2 or 3, but I'm very caffeine sensitive. Very thoughtful about the temperature in my bedroom at 65 degrees. It was even that in the New York winters. I do love the Miami-based company Eat Sleep and has brought the cooling mattress into our bedroom. And again, being very thoughtful about the boundaries and kind of the email that I invite into my mind share. So turning off social media and email very early. And, you know, that, you know, everyone's kind of different in terms of understanding their triggers. There's things we do that are probably against the rules, like watching TV in bed, because it brings us a lot of joy. So I think it's all about personalization and understanding, you know, what's best for you. You can listen to everyone's expert, but at the end of the day, you're so unique in your own bio individual makeup and have to make your own rules.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite sleep tracker?
So I actually really resonated with what the Brian, the speaker from the Miami Heat said, in that I realized that the impact of having my data was having a profound impact on the kind of day I was having. Mm-hmm. And when I had a bad night of sleep, I didn't need to see the red warning and that my day was going to be suboptimal. So it was helpful for me in understanding, you know, how things like alcohol affected my sleep. You know, I now drink at lunchtime and not at dinner. It was really helpful for gathering that initial data and making some of those decisions that can be hard to make, like cutting out alcohol at dinner. But after that, I felt like it didn't have as much of a profound impact on my sleep. That said, my husband wears like 5 wearables. So I think it's all about understanding, you know, what works best for you and what's going to help you have your best life.
Yeah, I'm sure you're like mine, working in the Big Four at PwC, sleep was an afterthought. It was almost you were a champion if you got less sleep in that corporate culture. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. It's definitely still a thing in corporate culture. I'm sure that was a big shift from you when you started your own business. You had a little bit more control of your own health and wellness. Maybe you were able to focus on yourself a little bit more, as I was when I made the leap as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a journey. You know, there's times in entrepreneurship when I've looked back at my jobs at Amazon and Walmart, and I was like, those were so easy, and I didn't appreciate the ability to disconnect from your business. And I think right now that's, you know, my biggest challenge in life, and it's magnified by the fact that I work with my life partner and that our brains are always going about our business. And I think there's times a lot of entrepreneurs wish they could, you know, kind of step away from that. From that mind kind of algorithm. But yes, there are benefits as well that, you know, we do have more flexibility, especially now as we have families. You know, I'm very appreciative of that. We work from home now as a company, which I think is really just such a tremendous value for families who are managing this time of life too.
Yeah, it'd be nice if there was a kill switch for entrepreneurs to turn it all off. It would
One
be
day.
Nice. I guess that's what you get when you disconnect and maybe go on a walk and nature, turn your phone
totally.
Off for 30 minutes. It's the closest thing to
it. Totally. Going to the beach in Miami, can't bring my phone. That helps.
It doesn't work in some parts too, which is nice. I wanted to leave it to you guys. If you could recommend any health practice that's maybe made a big difference in your life, something that anybody could start maybe today or tomorrow, what would it be?
So for me, it's really about gratitude. Gratitude. So my intention at this stage of my evolutionary process is to use the energy of love to create any possibility, right? And to be of service and to continue to achieve wisdom. So these are the things that kind of ground me together. But the things that make it real is the ability to have gratitude. So whether it's the first moment I step out of my bed, I put my feet on the ground, and I'll be able to say, thank God that I have one more day to be alive. Thank you, God, for allowing me to sing the song of life one more day. You know, connecting with that sense of gratitude, connecting with the sense of gratitude when you're going to sleep and saying, you know, what life have I touched today? What have I done to be able to feel fulfill myself? And it could be that you pet the dog. It doesn't have to be that you save the world. But I think gratitude creates a frequency shift in our ability to begin to integrate all the other things that we want and allows us to visualize the possibilities of what could be and not just connect with, oh my God, I have 101 things to do today.
Yeah. Nice. More of a take control stance rather than a reactive stance from the moment that you get up. I think that's a great time in the day to implement the spiritual practices. First thing when you wake up, when you're most relaxed, before the emails start flowing in.
Yes.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I would say one of the biggest gifts I get to give people who cross my path is opening them up to believing. Well, Einstein said the biggest decision you'll make in your life is whether you believe the universe is kind and supportive or hostile and unfriendly. And choosing to believe in a loving, kind universe that does things for you, not to you, it just changes your mindset. You're out of victim mode. And the gratitude also helps me because there's times I get attached to outcome and I'm like, okay, let me think about what I'm grateful for and it goes away.
Yeah.
So those two,
it's a powerful tool. When I'm having a bad day, I'll go for a walk and Nicole and I will just rattle off a few things that have happened that's great today or things that were great before. If you've never tried it, it's a very potent mechanism that can rewire your brain from a state of negativity or doubt or fear to complete positivity and openness. So I'm a huge believer in that. How about you, Colleen?
We love those mindset ideas. I think that one of the biggest shifts we've made in our own health and well-being is a shift into more resistance training. So now I'm getting, you know, 3 to 4 sessions of resistance training a week and really building up that lean muscle armor. There were some staggering statistics that came out, you know, around the impact of falling, especially in your later years, if you're 65. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a much higher correlation, you know, with death as your body can't withstand the falls. And it's not just from the falls, but it's from the depression that comes from a prolonged hospital stay. So I've really made a shift into building lean muscle to support me in the decades to come. And it's also a great activity that is fun to do in the gym.
Yeah, you can start at any age. And if you build it young, right, it's easier to maintain.
Best day was yesterday, second best day is today.
Yes, I love it. Well, thank you all for being here. It's a pleasure to have you. Here we are with the Future of Health panel. here in Miami. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yes.